very bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, the bottom line in the Gemara.
Interjoke.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, Sha'al Amrule, Amoni Velo Amonis, Moavi Velo Moavis, Akshe Luhu Doe Kohani Koshiasa, Ishtiku. This is really part of a much larger story in the Gemara, which again, if you did yesterday's daf, then you would already know what's going on. But basically, there's a whole back and forth here about the status of David HaMelech, whether he was really a kosher Jew, should his, you know, because Rus was a Moaviyah, which even allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So we know Lahalacha, of course, that the drasha is Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis, that the females from Amon and Moav are allowed to marry into the Jewish people. But Doeg was trying to claim, again, based on earlier drushas on yesterday's daf, that maybe David should not be allowed to marry. So the question was, how to deflect Doeg's questions, and they were silent. No one knew how to deflect Doeg's issues. So the Gemara says, Boy lach ruzele. They wanted to proclaim that David, in fact, was not a kosher Jew, and not only not a kosher Jew, but obviously he was not eligible to be the melech if he wasn't a kosher Jew. So the Gemara says, no. Miad va'amasavin ishu shmo yisra ha-yisraeli asher va'al avigayel bas nachash uchsiv yeser ha-yishme'eli. Amar rav amalamid shechagar charbo ki yishmal va'amar kol mi she'enu shomea halacha zo yidaker becherev. Comes the Gemara, and based on two different psukim, one from Sefer Shmuel, one from Divrei Hayamim, where in one pasuk Amasa is referred to as the son of Yisra HaYisraeli, and in Divrei Hayamim he's referred to as Yeser HaYishmaeli. So really, he was obviously Jewish; he wasn't a Yishmaeli, but he's called Yeser HaYishmaeli in Divrei Hayamim because it alluded to the fact that Amasa basically girded himself with a sword as if he was an Arab, as if he was from Yishmael, and he basically said, whoever doesn't accept this halacha that was issued from the Bezdin of Shmuel Hanavi, I'm going to kill them with the sword. And again, the halacha was that only males from Ammon and Moab are not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, but the female population, of course, is allowed to do so. So asks the Gemara, Umi Meheman, V'hamar Rabbi Abba Marav, Kol Talmud Chacham Shemora Halacha Uva, Im Koda Maisa Amra Shominlo, V'im Lav Ein Shominlo. So the problem is that Amasa seems to be biased or seems to have something to gain from this psak. Why? Because Amasa was actually a descendant of Rus and of Naama, which again was part of the question regarding David's lineage as well. Right? It says that he was the son of Yisra HaYisraeli, who had relations with Avigail, who again was one of the wives of David. So that could theoretically have ramifications on his own status. So how could he come out and say, you know, I'm going to kill anyone who doesn't accept this drasha? That's affecting his status too. And the Gemara says that whenever a Talmud Chacham comes out with a psak halacha, so the only time he has any sort of credibility is if he's not personally invested in that psak. If he comes out with some sort of a psak and then 5 years later he ends up becoming affected by it, so that's fine, you can still accept it. But if at the time he issues the psak, he is a biased party, he's invested, he has something to lose if the psak is overturned, so then you have no right to believe him. So how come all of a sudden you can believe what he says? So the Gemara says no. Shiny hacha da Shmuel uveis dino kayim. The Gemara says no, because Shmuel and his bezdin was around. It was very easy to verify what he was saying. You could just go ask Shmuel Anavi and the Bezdin, and they would tell you, yeah, that in fact is the din. So the Gemara says, Mikol Malkum Kasha, going back to, again, based on yesterday's daf, so all the issues that Doeg was raising, which again, were part of the question where he was trying to claim that the females from Ammon and Moab should also be forbidden from marrying into Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, how do you resolve those issues that Doeg was trying to raise? So the Gemara says, Hacha Targimu Kol Kehuda Bas Melech Penima, B'marava Amrei V'Yisem Rav Yitzchak Amar Kra, V'yomeru Eilo V'yisara Ishtecha. So basically, part of the claim to try and prove that the females from Ammon and Moab were permitted to marry into Klal Yisrael was by noting that when it says in Parshas Ki Seitzei that the reason why Ammon and Moab are not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael is because they failed to greet us with bread and water, right? It says, Al Devar Asher Lo Kidmu Eschem Balechem Uvamayim Baderech Betzeischem Mitzrayim, that they failed to give us bread and water and they let us die in the desert. So the Gemara says, oh, that's only for the males because it's not normal for the females to come out and to give bread and water to the Jewish people anyway, so therefore they were not included in the restriction. So Doeg's question was, so then why did the females go out and at least give bread and water to the Jewish females? So that was the question that he was trying to claim should undermine this whole drasha. To which the Gemara responds, no, that's not a valid contention, because the way of women is that they're supposed to be tzanua, they're supposed to be in the house, either based on the pasuk of Kol Kevuda, Bas Melech Penima and Tehillim, that it's the way of women to be royal, to be in the house, or the pasuk of Parshas Vayera, Vayom Ruela, Vayei Sarah Eshtecha, right, that the Malachim had to ask where Sarah was, she was in the tent, right? So again, these psukim highlight the fact that the women are supposed to be in the house regardless of who's outside, even if if there are other women outside, they're supposed to be in the house, and therefore they were not restricted by the Isser of Ammon and Moab. So the females were permitted, and that undermines Doeg's question. That undermines Doeg's theory. Okay. And the Gemara points out Kisanoi, Ammoni velo Ammonis, Moavi velo Moav is Divri Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Omer al Divar Asher lo Kidemu Eschem Balechem Uvamayim, Darko Shel Ish Lekadim. This very point seems to be a machlokus. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that the females are permitted to marry, the females from Ammon and Moab can marry into the regular cadre of Jewish people, that's just Xeris HaKasim. It says Ammoni and Moavi, that's to the exclusion of the females, whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not just a Stam Xeris HaKasim, there's actually a reasoning behind it, which again, as we just noted, it's only normal for the men to go out and offer bread and water, and their failure to do so is now preventing them from marrying into the Jewish people, but because it wasn't normal for the females to do that, they were never included in that restriction in the first place. Okay, then the Gemara says, Darash Rava, May Dechsiv Pitachta Lemoser, a famous pasuk from Tehillim that we say in Hallel, right, where David HaMelech says, Hashem, you've unburdened, or you've unshackled my burdens. What does that mean? Amar David Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Shnei Moseros Shehayu Alai Pitachtam, Rusam Moaviyah V'Noamah HaAmonis. The two potential shackles that were basically burdening David HaMelech that could have theoretically disqualified him as for marrying a Jew, Hashem undid them. He was a descendant of Rus, but again, because she was a female from Moab, she was allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, and also one of his wives was Naamah HaAmonis, but again, because she was a female, that did not ruin his lineage from her. Darash Rava, May Dechsiv Rabos Tassisa Ata Hashem Elokai Nifle Osecho Machshev Osecho Eileinu Eilai Lo Ne'amar Ela Eileinu Malami Shoy Rechavim Yoshev Becheko Shel David Omer Lo Alai V'Olecha Nemru Shtei Mekros Halalu. So the Gemara expounds the Pasuk from Tehillim, where David says that Hashem has done many wondrous, astounding things for us. So the Gemara infers on the word Eileinu for us, as opposed to Eilai for me, that David was not only referring to himself, the fact that Hashem permitted the females from Ammon and Moab, which basically salvaged his lineage, but also for his grandson Rechavam, who actually came from Naamah HaAmonis, because again, if we were to disqualify the females from Ammon and Moab, he also would not have been considered to be a valid Jew. Darash Rava, May Dechsiv Oza Marti Hinei Vasi Bim Gilas Sefer Kasov Alai. Amar David, Ani Amarti Ata Vasi V'lo Yadati Shebim Gilas Sefer Kasov Alai Hasam Ksiv Hanim Tzoz Hacha Ksiv Matzasi David Adi V'Shemen Kachim Eshachtiv. Again, the Gemara says that David initially thought that his life only began now when he was born, but in reality, he realized that his life way predated, you know, his actual existence. It was already alluded to way back in Parshas Vayera by the Benos Lot, right, where the pasuk says Ves Shetevin Osecha Hanim Tzoz, where the pasukim talk about how the Benos Lot and Lot were saved from the destruction of Sodom. So that word Hanim Tzoz that were found, that survived, that correlates to a pasuk in Tehillim where it says that I found my servant David, who I'm anointed with the holy oil. So you see that David's existence was already alluded to way back in Parshas Vayera. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Baz Gera Monik Shera Lechuhuna. Comes the Gemara and says that the daughter of an Ammonite convert is permitted to marry not just a regular Jew, but even a Kohen. So Amar Le Rava Bar Ula Le Ula Kiman Ike Rabbi Yehuda Ha Amar Baz Ger Zachar Kivas Chalal Zachar Ike Rabbi Yossi Pshita Ha Amar Av Ger Shenasa Giyores Bitok Shera Lechuhuna. The Gemara says, either way you turn, you have a problem here. If you're gonna say that this statement that the daughter of an Ammonite convert can marry a Kohen, so if that conforms to Rabbi Yehuda, that's just incorrect, because Rabbi Yehuda, as we've already cited earlier in the Masechta, holds that the daughter of a male convert has the equivalent status of the daughter of a Chalal. The daughter of a Chalal is not allowed to marry a Kohen, so then certainly the daughter of a convert, according to Rabbi Yehuda, should also not be allowed to marry a Kohen. On the other hand, if you're going to say that this statement conforms to Rabbi Yossi, so then this statement seems to be obvious. It seems to be unnecessary, because Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that if a male and a female convert get married and have a daughter, that daughter is allowed to marry a Kohen. So what would be the additional chiddush of this case that we didn't already know? So the Gemara explains, V'chi tema b'hanach d'ru'uyin lavo b'kal, aval hay de'ein roi lavo b'kal lo minale. So the Gemara says, maybe you'll argue that this statement really does in fact conform with Rabbi Yossi. It's just that the chiddush is that whereas in Rabbi Yossi's case, we're just talking about two regular converts who don't necessarily come from any sort of disqualifying nations like Ammon and Moab, whereas here we're talking about people who come from Ammon or Moab, so that should maybe somehow throw a monkey wrench into the discussion, but why would that, but in other words, what's the basis for such a distinction? So the Gemara explains, the Yalef mi Kohen Gadol be Almana. Perhaps we can derive that distinction from the case of a Kohen Gadol who marries an Almana. Amana. Again, there's an Isra for a Kohen Gadol to marry an Amana, as we know. If a child is born from that relationship, that child becomes a Halal. That child becomes disqualified from marrying a Kohen. So the Gemara says perhaps that should be the paradigm. In other words, that just as in a case where they're disqualified from marrying, in other words, where the Kohen Gadol has relations with an Amana and has a child, that daughter is no longer allowed to marry a Kohen, perhaps we should say the same here as well. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? He says, you can't bring me a proof from the case of a Kohen Gadol who marries an Almana, because the act of relations that was done there was done by Isra. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, whereas there is no limitation on, let's say, a male from Ammon marrying a female from Ammon. It's just that the male Ammonite is not allowed to marry a regular Jew. So it could very well be that the daughter who's born from a male and female Ammonite is not coming from an illicit union. It just happens to be that her father is not allowed to marry a regular Jew. So maybe the two cases are radically different. So the Gemara says, you're right, Chalal Yochia. Well, let's turn back to the case of a Chalal. So in other words, again, the case of a Chalal would be that a Chalal is allowed to marry a regular Jew, just not allowed to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says, no, Mal Chalal Shekin Yitziraso Ba'Aveira. Although it's true that a Chalal is allowed to marry a regular Jew, but the way in which the Chalal was born was done so b'Yisr. The only way to create a Chalal is to have a Kohen violate some sort of Yisr that's unique to a Kohen. Either a Kohen marries a Grusha, a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, something like that. That's what creates a Chalal, which again, in the case of an Ammoni and an Ammonis, doesn't happen. There is no illicit Yisr that's being violated when that child is born. So the Gemara then says, you're right, Kohen Gadol Yuchech. We have to come back to the case of the Kohen Gadol to the Almana. The Chazar Adin, Lo Rizek Yerizeh, Velo Rizek Yerizeh, Hatzara Shavah Shebahen She'enu Berov Kalu Vito Psula, Afkan She'enu Berov Kalu Vito Psula. The Gemara says the common denominator between all these cases, between the Chalal, between the Kohen Gadol and the Almana, between the Ammoni and the Ammonis giving birth to a daughter, the common denominator is that these are not disqualifications that are all encompassing. In other words, these things don't apply to the majority of the Jewish people, right? First of all, the majority people are not Kohanim, and certainly the majority of people are not coming from Ammon and Moab. So these are very specific, very unique disqualifications, and nonetheless, we're saying that a daughter born from such unions is disqualified from marrying a Kohen. So presumably then, we should say the same in the case of a daughter born from Ammon and Moab, regardless of the fact that that daughter was not born Be'isr. There's nothing wrong with a man from Ammon marrying a woman from Ammon. It's completely mutter. Nonetheless, we should still disqualify the daughter from marrying a Kohen by dint of the fact that this is an Isr, or that's unique, or that's specific to a very small segment of the population. So the Gemara pushes back. The Gemara says, hang on one second. Even though you want to make the argument, in other words, the Gemara says that there's a clear distinction between a daughter who's born from a male and female Ammonite versus a daughter, let's say, born from a Kohen Gadol to an Amana, which is that, as we keep on pointing out, a daughter born from a male and female Ammonite is not born Be'isr. There's nothing wrong with a male marrying a female from Ammon. It's completely mutter. Whereas in the case of a Kohen Gadol marrying an Amana, that daughter was born by Isra. So perhaps, again, the two cases are completely different. So the Gemara says, no. Doma vade ba'amoni shenasa bas Yisrael ka'amayit afal gav divyasu ba'avira pitok shera. The Gemara says, well, maybe you could just simply make an okimta in this case and say that maybe we actually misunderstood the case. Maybe the case is not where a male from Ammon marries a female from Ammon, but rather where a male from Ammon marries a regular Jewish girl, which of course is an Isra, which of course is not allowed. And yet we're still saying that even though that act of relations, that marriage was by Isra, the daughter is still allowed to marry a Kohen, which presumably should also translate into these other cases as well. So the Gemara says, you're right, Amar Le'in, Dechiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bas Ger Amoni, Uvas Mitzri Sheni, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ksheira, V'Reish Lakish Amar Psula. Reish Lakish Amar Psula, D'Yalef Lami Kohen Gadol Be'almana, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ksheira, D'Sani Rabbi Zakai Kameh D'Rabbi Yochanan, Kiyem Besula Me'amav Yikach Isha, L'Havi Giyores Mikana, Shehi Ksheira L'Chuhuna. Comes the Gemara and presents a machlokas about two scenarios, one that's very much related to what we just spoke about, and one that's also kind of similar, where the Gemara says, again, I have a daughter that's born from a relationship from an Ammonite convert, or the daughter of a second generation Mitzri, a second generation Egyptian. Why is that significant? So we know that when it comes to the prohibition of Egyptians, of Mitzri, and marrying into Klal Yisrael, it's only the first two generations that cannot marry, quote-unquote, regular Jews, right, people who are part of the Kal Hashem. Once you become a third generation Mitzri, and again, we'll talk in the Gemara as we go on how to define that exactly, but once you become a third generation Mitzri, you can marry a regular Jew. So again, you have the daughter of an Ammonite convert, or you have the daughter of a second generation Mitzri. The question is, can that daughter marry a Kohen? Again, we're not talking about marrying a regular Jew. That for sure is okay. The question is, can they marry a Kohen? So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that she cannot marry a Kohen. Why not? So he says, because we derive this case, again, from the case of the Kohen Gadol to the Almana, right? That, again, we try to use that as a paradigm to say that just as that daughter born from the union of the Kohen Gadol to the Almana cannot marry a Kohen, so the same should be true here as well. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, no, that the daughter born in these cases from a second generation Egyptian or from the Ammonite converts can in fact marry a Kohen. How did Rabbi Yochanan know that? So he derives it from Pasuk and Parshas Emor. The Pasuk says, regarding the mitzvah for a Kohen Gadol to only marry a Besula, it says, Kiyim Besula Me'amav Yikachisha. It says that a Kohen Gadol must marry a Besula Me'amav, a virgin from his nation. What does that mean, from his nation? So the Gemara says that comes to include what's called a Giyores Mikana, a convert from her roots. What does that mean, from her roots? So the way the Rashi and most Rishonim explain is that both of her parents come from the same nation. In other words, that she was born in a state of Kedusha. That would be to the exclusion of a case, for example, where let's say a male Ammonite married a regular Jewish woman and then gave birth to a daughter. That would not be called a Giyores Mikana. That girl who's born is not a convert who comes from people from the same nations, and she presumably would in fact be disqualified from marrying a Kohen. The Amar Le, Ani Shona Amav Me'amav, Lahavi Besula Haba Mi Beis Amamin, Va'at Amar Giyores Mikana Besulo. So now comes Reish Lakish and pushes back on Rabbi Yochanan. He says, based on this drusha that you were quoting in Parshas Emor from the superfluous Mem, Besula Me'amav, the virgin from his nation, that comes to include a woman who's a Besula, who's a virgin who comes from two different nations, which again just means that her parents are not necessarily from the same nation. It could be a male from Ammon and a female from Moab, let's say, for example. And now the Gemara says, what you're doing is, says Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, you're essentially underselling the halacha. You're saying the only type of girl who's allowed to marry a Kohen is one whose parents come from the same nation. But that's not true. Based on the drusha of Me'amav, the Gemara is claiming now that even a girl who comes from parents of different nations should also be allowed to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara just has to clarify this point. Ma'ishnei Amimin, Ilema, Amoni, Shenasa, Amonis, Umay Mishnei Amimin, Dizcharim, Asurin, Unkevos, Mutaros, Hainu, Giyores, Mikana. Now, the Gemara clarifies. It can't mean, when the Gemara says that the girl comes from two nations, that really means that her parents are both from Ammon. Now, why would I have thought that if her parents are both from Ammon, that they're part of two different nations, they're from the same nation? It's because, as we've already pointed out several times, the males and females of Ammon have two radically different halachos. The males of Ammon are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, and the females are. So one could have made the argument that, well, Ammon itself is almost considered like two different nations, because the males and the females are so radically different in terms of their status in marrying the Jewish people. So the Gemara says one could have made that argument. The only problem is that it fails on textual grounds, because if we're talking about a girl who's born from parents who are both Ammoni, that's the same case as what the Gemara quoted earlier. We already established in the Gemara earlier that's what's called a Giyores Mikana, the convert, the girl who's born from the same parents of the same nation, is allowed to marry a Kohen. So there's no Chiddush that's being added in this Gemara. Ela ba'amoni shenasa bas Yisrael must be, says the Gemara, that the Chiddush of our Gemara, the case that the Gemara is trying to highlight here, is where a male from Ammon marries, in other words, illicitly marries a Jewish woman and gives birth to a daughter. That's a tremendous Chiddush to say that a daughter born from that union should be allowed to marry a Kohen, let alone marrying even a regular Jew, but even marrying a Kohen. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara. That's one version. That's one possibility. V'ika da'amre, amar le, ani shona amav me'amav, lahavi besula haba mishnei amamin, ume'am sheyesh bo shnei amamin, v'ad amar giyores mikana v'sulo. In the second version of the Gemara really adds just one kind of caveat or one kind of monkey wrench into the case here, where instead of just simply saying that the girl comes from parents of two different nations, it also says from a nation of two nations. And that really highlights the point that we referenced earlier, where, like, for example, Ammon and Moab are quote-unquote a nation of two nations, because, again, the males and the females are radically different in terms of their status, right? That the males are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people, but the females are. So in the second version of the Gemara is making this claim about the daughter born from this union, specifically regarding a nation of two nations, let's say Ammon or Moab, for example. So the Gemara explains, Ulahach lishna bas mitzri sheni dechshira lechuhun menali. The problem now becomes, in the second version of the Gemara, where the Gemara really kind of focuses in on this nation of two nations point of, you know, really, really focusing more on Ammon and Moab in particular. So now we have to go back to the second half of our initial question that we started on the previous Amud, which is the daughter of a second generation Egyptian. Because when it comes to the Egyptians, the Gemara says, we don't have this distinction between male and female. The first two generation Egyptians, neither male nor female are allowed to marry into the regular Jewish people. Whereas third generation and on, everyone's allowed to marry. Now, again, we'll see a little bit later in the Gemara that that actually may be subject to a machlokes, but at least for now, the Gemara is assuming that for the first two generations, all Egyptians, male and female alike, are not allowed to marry into the regular Jewish people. So, if you're going to accept the second version of the Gemara that focuses on a nation of two nations, which again, distinguishes between the male and female population, so now you have to push back and ask, well, what's the source that the daughter of a second generation Egyptian is allowed to marry a Kohen? Because again, the Egyptians don't have that allowance that we found by Amon and Moab. So the Gemara says, you're right. Maybe we should extrapolate the status of a daughter born from a second generation Egyptian from the case of a male Ammonite who marries a Jewish girl. The Gemara says, no, you can't prove from there. The Gemara says, again, we've already established several times that females from Ammon are allowed to marry into the Jewish people even right away, even the first generation. Whereas by the Egyptians, as we keep on pointing out, the first two generations, male and female, are not allowed to marry into the regular Jewish people. So you cannot bring me a proof from the status of a daughter born from a male Ammonite to a regular Jewish girl. So then the Gemara says, okay, Mitzri Sheni Shenasa Mitzris Shnia Yochiach. Then the Gemara says, let's turn back to a case of a second generation male Egyptian who marries a second generation female Egyptian, where presumably that child is completely permissible. It's a third generation. Third generation Egyptians can marry anyone, and they presumably should be able to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says, no. Mala Mitzri Sheni Shenasa Mitzris Shnia Shekin Ein Biaso Ba'Aveira. But the Gemara says, but the relations that was had between the second generation male and female Egyptians was done completely behetter. There was no isser violated there. A second generation Egyptian male is allowed to marry a second generation Egyptian female without a problem. In contrast, a male from Ammon is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. So the Gemara says, maybe you can't bring a proof from that case either. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ammoni shenasa bas Yisrael yochiach v'chazer edin. You have to go back to the original case of the male from Ammon who married the Jewish girl. And again, the logic is going to be circular in this case, where the bottom line seems to be that, you know, that we're not going to necessarily have a justification in the second version of the Gemara, at least, to say that a daughter born from a second generation Egyptian should necessarily be allowed to marry a Kohen. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Hainu deshamana lila Rav Yehuda da'amar amav me'amav v'lo yadana me'kamar. This is what Rav Yosef commented, where he said, I heard from Rav Yehuda about this drusha that we're deriving from that extra mem of bisula me'amav, but I didn't understand what he was saying. And again, this goes back to the two versions in our Gemara. The first version of the Gemara just says that me'amav just means that the parents come from two different nations. That was the simple version. But the more complex version of the Gemara is where the Gemara claims that it's a nation of two nations, which really only refers to Ammon and Moab, where there's a distinction in halacha between the males and the females. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ki asa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar, hach itana kamei, isha amonis kshera, bina me amoni pasul, uvita me amoni kshera. Comes the Gemara and quotes three different halachos that all pertain to people from Ammon. It says that a female from Ammon is kshera, that we've already talked about 100 times on the staff. It says that a son who comes from Ammon is disqualified, which presumably means they cannot marry a Jew, and then a daughter from Ammon is kshera. So the Gemara now has to clarify what all these halachos mean. Bamed dvar mamurim ba'amoni ve'amonis shenes gairu avobita me'amoni psula. So the Gemara says we're only referring to a case where the couple, the Ammonite couple, converted prior to the child being born. But if let's say the daughter was born before they converted, so then that daughter is also going to be possible for marrying a Kohen. So Amar le pok tani levara, comes the Gemara and says, teach that brisa outside of the base medrash, which is kind of a nice way of saying that the brisa is really not authoritative and it's incorrect or it's inaccurate. So the question is, what's inaccurate about it? My da'amar isha amonis kshera amoni v'lo amonis. So the first clause of the brisa makes a lot of sense. Again, as we've already established countless times, a female from Ammon is allowed to marry a regular Jew. But not me amoni pasul to ha amoni hu. So again, the second halacha also makes perfect sense. When the son comes from Ammon, he's a male Ammonite, of course he cannot marry a regular Jew. Uvita me amoni kshera l'mai. The problem becomes that third halacha. When the brisa said that the daughter born from an Ammonite is kshera, what does it mean that she's kshera? What is she kshera for? If the brisa meant to say that she can marry a regular Jew, that's obvious. Her mother can marry a regular Jew. Certainly she can marry a regular Jew. So the Gemara says, El lechahuna. It must mean that the daughter born from the Ammonite converts can marry a Kohen. So it comes to Gemara and clarifies. That's only if the parents already converted before she was born. But again, as the Gemara already qualified earlier, if she was born prior to her parents converting, so then she's going to be disqualified from marrying a Kohen. So what does that mean? My bita me amoni. Ilema amoni shanasa amonis hainu giyores mikana. It can't be referring to a case where both of her parents come from Ammon, because that's the same as the Gemara's case earlier on the top of the Samad, where the girl is born with parents of the same nation, that we've already established in the Gemara that she's allowed to marry a Kohen in that case. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela amoni shanasa bas Yisrael. It must be we're talking about a case of a male Ammonite who marries a Jewish girl, and we're saying that that child is in fact going to be the Gemara is saying that that child is puzzled from marrying Kohen. So Amar Le Poke Tani Levara. That's what disqualified this Brisa. That's what we're disagreeing on. The Gemara is saying that no, that a daughter who's born from that illicit union of a male Ammonite marrying a Jewish girl is in fact allowed to marry a Kohen, and therefore we have to kind of throw out the Brisa and claim that it's not authoritative. Okay. Then the Mishnah said Mitzri va'adomi ainan asurin. So again, Mitzrim and Edomim, so Egyptians and people from Edom, so the first two generations are forbidden, the third generation, everything goes. However, Rav Shimon in the Mishnah on yesterday's daf claims that we have that same male-female distinction. So within the first two generations, Rav Shimon holds that females from Egypt or females from Edom are also permissible, and his logic behind that is, well, when it comes to Ammon and Moab, where there's a permanent restriction, males are never allowed to marry into the Jewish people, the females can marry right away. So Kal v'chomer, when it comes to the Egyptians or the people from Edom, where even the males can marry after two generations, and I would say Kal v'chomer, the females should be allowed to marry right away. That was Rav Shimon's kind of rebuttal against the opinion of the Chachamim. So the Gemara asks, my tshuva, how do the Chachamim respond to that rebuttal of Rav Shimon? So Amar Rabba Bar Barchanim Rabbi Yochanan Yishim Deika LeMeimer Arayos Yochichu Shelo Aser Bahen Ela Ashlosha Doros Echad Scharim V'Yachan Nekevas. The Gemara says that the case of Arayos can undermine Rav Shimon's theory. How does Arayos undermine his theory? So Mi De'Oraisa, we know that the prohibition against Arayos applies, let's say, for example, to a person's daughter and granddaughter. We've already spoken about this in the beginning of the Masechta a lot. So that Isser applies to a daughter and granddaughter after those generations. It's only Midrabanan. And that Isser applies whether to a male or female. Meaning, for example, the prohibition against having relations with one's granddaughter is true whether she's your son's daughter or daughter's daughter. There is no distinction between that. So just like we're not going to distinguish between male and female in the realm of Arayos, so presumably, say the Rabbanan, we should also not distinguish between male and female when it comes to the prohibition against marrying a first or second generation Egyptian or person from Edom. So the Gemara pushes back. Mali Arayos Shekin Karis. The Gemara says Arayos is radically different than the Isser of marrying a Mitzri or an Edomi. The Isser to marry a Mitzri and Edomi, maybe only an Isser Aseh, as we'll talk about later. The Isser of Arayos is the Chi of Karis. So the two cases are totally different. So the Gemara says, oh, Mamzer Yochia. Okay, we can turn instead to the case of Mamzerus. And again, there's no distinction between male and female. If you give birth to a boy or a girl, if you violated some sort of Isser that could create Mamzerus, there's no distinction whether the child is male or female. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Mala Mamzer Shekin Enu Roy Lava Bakali Olam. The Gemara says, yeah, but Mamzer is not a good paradigm either, because a Mamzer is never allowed to marry into the Jewish people, whereas again, after two generations, the people from Mitzrayim and Edom are. So the Gemara says, again, Arayos Yuchichu, you have to go back to the case of Arayos. The Chazar Adin, Lori Zeki Rizev, Lori Zeki Rizev, Tzad HaShav HaShabahen, Sheh Asurin, Ve'echad Tzcharin, Ve'echad Nekevos, Alfani Avi Mitzri, U'mitzris, Sheh Yehu Asurin, Echad Tzcharin, Ve'echad Nekevos. Again, the Gemara says that basically the common denominator is that there's an Isser in place, and the Isser applies both to males and females. There is no distinction. So the same should be true here as well. This is what the Rabbanim claim, that within those first two generations for Egyptians and for people from Edom, there's no distinction between male and female. That's their rebuttal against Reb Shimon. So the Gemara then asks, Mala Hatzad HaShav HaShabahen, Shekein Yesh Bahen Tzad Karis. The Gemara says, although it's true that a person having relations with a Mamzer is not really a Chi of Karis. So if a person marries a Mamzer, that's just a Lav, but the way the Mamzer was created was via a Chi of Karis, at least the way that we paskin against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that a Mamzer can be created even from a regular Lav, but we paskin that Mamzerus is only created by one who violates at least the Chi of Karis or worse. So a Mamzer has an aspect of Karis to it, whereas the Isser of Mitzri and Adomi, there's no Chi of Karis at all. So again, maybe the two cases are different. You can't derive one from the other. So the Gemara says, no. V'rabbanan mechalo v'chai v'eseyu cherabi Elazar u'cherabi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Comes the Gemara and says that the Rabbanan will respond to Rav Shimon and say that we're talking about a scenario of a chalal who comes from a mere Isser Eseh. For example, a Kohen Gadol we know has to marry a Besula. Let's say he goes ahead and marries a woman who's a Be'ula, who's not a virgin. So that's only an Isser Eseh. There's no law violated from there. But if he does go ahead and marry her within the position of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, which again we'll talk about a little bit later on, he holds that the child is in fact going to be considered to be a chalal. So he says that's in contrast to, let's say, a regular Mitzri and Adomi, where that's also an Isser Aseh, but it doesn't create any sort of Isser of a Chalal. It doesn't create that status for the child. So within the worldview of Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, you could actually draw this distinction. So the Gemara says, Umay lohi, hachi ka'amar lu, lididi lo svirli de Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, lididchu de svirlichu ki Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, halacha ani omer. So basically, Reb Shimon's response to the Rabbana was, listen, I don't agree with Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov's position at all. I think he's wrong. I don't think that a child born from a mere Isser Aseh from a Kohen Gadol marrying a woman who's not a virgin is going to make the daughter into a chal. But even if you subscribe to that position, even if you thought Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was correct, it doesn't necessarily translate to our case of the Mitzrim and the Edomim. In other words, Rav Shimon is claiming that there's an objective halacha l'Moshe Misinai claiming that the people from Mitzrayim and Edom, so first of all, there is no distinction between male and female according to him, that the first two generations of the females are mutter, but the males are usher, but it also doesn't impact the status of the child. According to Rav Shimon, the child is going to be allowed to marry a Kohen. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Lehen Rav Shimon, Halacha Ani Omer, Vod Mikra Misayini, Banu Velo Banos. Rav Shimon says, first of all, the fact that the female Egyptians and people from Edom are permitted, even in the first two generations, is a halacha l'moshe misinai. And not only that, it's basically an explicit pasuk where the pasuk says, Banim asher yivaladu lahem dor shlishi yavo lahem b'kal Hashem. The Torah never says explicitly, by the way, that first two generation Egyptians can't marry Jews. It just says that once you're a third generation, then you can marry to the Jewish people. So the Gemara infers that the first two generations cannot. That's only in Isra Seh. So the Gemara says, but in the context of that pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse, it says Banim. So in other words, Rav Shimon says, Banim asher yivaladu lahem means that the prohibition only applies to males. In other words, it doesn't apply to females even within the first two generations. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Banim velo banos divrei Rav Shimon. So again, Rav Shimon, as we just noted a second ago, says the prohibition against first and second generation of Mitzriim only applies to the males. So Amar Rabbi Huda, Harehu Umber, Banim asher yivaladu lahem dor shelishia, kasuv tila and beleida. Comes Rabbi Huda and pushes back against Rav Shimon. He says, the pasuk also says, asher yivaladu lahem, that they gave birth to, implying that the prohibition applies to any child who's born, regardless of whether they're male or female. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ilav de Amar Rabbi Huda, kasuv tila and beleida, lo matza yadav haragla b'veis ha-medrish. Kevin de Amar Mar, kal ger mikre kal, mitzri sheni b'mayitar. So comes Rabbi Yochanan and says that if not for Rabbi Yehuda's deflection of Rabbi Shimon's position, so we would not be able to find ourselves in the base medrash. What does that mean? So there's a famous position, again, this is machlokes that we referenced earlier in the Masechta, where Rabbi Yehuda happens to hold that gerim are in fact considered to be part of the regular cadre of Jewish people, and therefore a ger, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be allowed to marry a kohen. The problem becomes, according to that, how would you ever have a scenario where a second generation Egyptian could become quote unquote purified to allow them to marry into the regular Jewish people? In other words, the question basically is, how do you even get to a third generation Egyptian within this worldview? Within the opinion of Rav Shimon, there is no such thing as a third generation Egyptian, because according to him, the first two generations for females are permissible anyway. So how do you even get to a case of a Mitzri Shlisha? So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Dilma di avar v'natsiv. The Gemara says, maybe the case was where they violated the din. Let's say a first or second generation male Egyptian went ahead and married a Jewish woman, which he wasn't supposed to do. And in other words, maybe the only case of a Mitzri Shlishi, according to Reb Shimon, is Be'isser, is a case where the Egyptian man violated the din. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be. The Elo Ksivkra, the Torah doesn't talk in theoreticals, even though a lot of these cases seem very theoretical, but the Torah doesn't give cases that involve Isser. The Torah is not going to build an entire halakhic structure on a case that presupposes that you violated an Isser. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hare Mamzer, Di'i V'chasekra. What about Mamzer? The whole idea, the whole concept of Mamzer is presupposes that you violated an Isser. So the Gemara says, no. Di'ili Isura Kasav, Di'ila Hetera Lo Kasav. The Gemara says, yeah. Mamzer is a theoretical that can lead to an Isser. So the Torah will talk in those terms. But the problem is here, the Mitzri Shlishi is a Kula. If you're trying to claim that a person is a third generation Mitzri, that's a tremendous Kula, because now they can marry anyone they want. They can marry any Jew. So the Gemara says, the Torah doesn't talk in theoreticals that involve Isurim that can lead to a Kula. That's what the Torah doesn't talk about. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hare Machzer Grushaso, De'ila Hetera V'chasve. What about the case of Machzer Grushaso? What's Machzer Grushaso? So we've spoken about this in the past, right? Machzer Grushaso basically means the case is after a person divorces their wife, assuming that they're not a Kohen, obviously. They divorce their wife. So once their wife remarries in the interim, even if she subsequently gets divorced or widowed, you are no longer allowed to marry her. However, even though if you were to then remarry her, she would become, let's say, a halal, she would not be allowed to marry a Kohen after the fact. Your children born from that illicit union are not. The Gemara derives it from a pasuk, again, in Parshas Kiseitse. It says, he toeva, the ain baneha toavin, that your sons that come from that illicit union of remarrying your divorcee after she remarried, those sons are in fact not going to be pusul or mamzerim or anything. So the Gemara says, that's a kula. That's a theoretical that involves an isser that leads to a kula for the status of your children. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam yishamikar isura hu dechasve. The Torah was referencing the isser of Mahzir Grushaso as it relates to the primary isser involving the woman. So yes, it's true that there happens to be a tangential effect that the children born from that illicit union will not be disqualified, but the woman herself will be disqualified from marrying a kohen. So because the primary Yisra involves a Chumrah, the Torah still felt it necessary to write it.